So I wanted to learn with you today the laws of Kriyas HaTorah. And we're going to focus on two elements and issues in that context. One is, would the obligation of listening to the Torah in its public reading, which we'll see soon was established by Moshe Rabbeinu and embellished and enhanced by Ezra HaSofer, would that obligation be incumbent upon me, upon you, upon every yachid as an individual? Or is it only an obligation incumbent upon the tzibur as a whole? And many questions are going to come up in that context. For example, do I have to travel to a place where I can guarantee myself a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah? Mm. Or do I just have to say, well, I'm here, there's no minyan, and there's no Kriyas HaTorah? Well, if it's a Chiyuv Yachid, then I got to be careful about that. If it's a Chiyuv Tzibur, then if the Tzibur is together, if there's a Tzibur that's gathered, then the Chiyuv evolves, but not before that. And a second issue that I want to focus on, call your attention to, is what's called Shomea Keone, which means that normally when there's a mitzvah of Kriya, of recitation, for example in Hallel, I can listen to your Kriya, and I'm Yotze Midin Shomea Ka'on. Does that halach apply to the study of Torah? And insofar as Kriya Satorah is a public reading, the kiyum of which is Talmud Torah, then I'm not sure if Shomea Ka'on works with regard to Torah. If I just stand up here and I read Psukim in the Torah and you listen, I don't know if you're Yotze that mitzvah. It may require an active personal participation on your part. So let's begin with the first issue, and let's give a little bit of a background. If you have the source sheets, the takana of Kriyas HaTorah is one of the very few takanos that date back till Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu actually made that takana, and the Gemara in Bava Kamma Daf Pei Beis Amud Beis derives this from Psukim. The pasuk describes how Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim; they went 3 days without water. And they came to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu because they were thirsty. And the Gemara says that this is an allusion to the study of Torah. They went without studying Torah, and they were thirsty for Torah. Ein mayim, ein tzomei, ela Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu established that they wouldn't go 3 days without the public reading of the Torah, which means, if you count Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday, then there never is more than a 3-day gap for the entire tzibur to be involved in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And that applies on not only Shabbos, but also on Yontif. And the Rambam codifies these halachas in Perek Yud Beis Mehilchos Tefillah. The Gemara itself is located in Masechet Megillah Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. And we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu making a takana, says the Rambam, Bishvil Yisrael, for the benefit of Israel. Meaning that the Torah did not institute this requirement. The Torah said that you should study Torah as often as you possibly can. And the Torah established the chiyuv of Talmud Torah as an individual chiyuv, as a chovat yachid. Came along Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was worried about situations in which people were so involved in their daily activities and so dedicated to his askus on a secular level, they wouldn't have time enough for Torah, and they couldn't go 3 days without Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu established that on Shabbos and Monday and Thursday, the people gathered together in order to read the Torah. Now, as far as Moshe Rabbeinu's takon is concerned, it would be sufficient if one person read the Torah. Ezra changed that, and Ezra created a more sophisticated structure, and that is that they read the Torah and call up not one person, but a minimum of 3 people to the Torah. Mm-hmm. That's how Ezra enhanced the reading of the Torah. And not only that, but Ezra expanded the number of verses, the minimum number of psukim that have to be read to fulfill this takana. At the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, 3 psukim were enough. Ezra expanded it to 10 psukim. So Ezra changed the takana in 2 ways. Number one, you needed 3 aliyos. And number two, you needed 10 psukim. What else did Ezra do? Ezra also instituted what's called Targum. And I don't know if you've ever seen this, but the minhag of Ezra continues to exist in certain Yemenite communities. You won't see it in Chutz La'aretz anywhere as far as I know, but you'll see it here in Israel. In fact, my guest this past Shabbos, his name is Yechiel Prince, he told me that just the Shabbos before, he heard Targum being read together with the Kriyas HaTorah, and then what they do is they have an adult read a pasuk, and then they have a child read the Targum, which is the translation into Aramaic. Now you and I don't necessarily know Aramaic, or certainly we don't know it better than we know Lashon Kodesh in the original, but in the old days, back at Ezra's time, when they came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and they knew the language, the vernacular of Aramit, Aramaic, then to make the reading of Torah, the public reading of Torah, meaningful, they enhanced it by adding the Targum. Now, although that minhag has pretty much fell into disuse, we could say, except in very few cases and communities, but nevertheless, I would encourage, whenever possible, that someone, if it's not the rabbi, let it be someone else, should stand up in front of the community and explain some of the highlights of the Kriyas HaTorah, or at least focus on one point in the Torah reading to enhance it. And what basically we're doing here is we're taking Moshe Rabbeinu's Takana, which was limited to Torah Shebe'ah Bichtav, and we're expanding it through Ezra to Torah Sheh Ba'al Peh. What I mean is that Torah Sheh Bichtav, you can achieve a kiyum, a fulfillment of a mitzvah of kriya, of reading psukim in the Torah, even if you don't understand those psukim. Obviously, if you understand the psukim, that enhances your kiyum. But when it comes to Torah Sheh Ba'al Peh, there must be absolutely a havana, an understanding of what you're reading. For example, if I open up a Mishnah at the beginning of Brachos, Memesai Kornish Rabbi Arvin, I don't understand the word of what I'm reading, that's meaningless. I don't obtain any cue. If I read a Pasuk in Chumash Breishis Bar Elokim and I don't understand the words, I nevertheless have a cue of Kriya. That's why Torah, the five books of Moses, are called Mikra in the Lashon HaGemara. Mikra mi Lashon Kriya. But Torah Sheh Ba'al Peh requires understanding. So what Ezra wanted to do is, he wanted to upgrade the mitzvah of Kriya, in the case of Torah Sheh Bichtav, which was established by Moshe Rabbeinu, and through Ezra's Takana, to add an embellishment so that you expand the mitzvah from the limited circumscribed Torah Sheh Bichtav to include Torah Sheh Ba'al Peh, and that's through Targum. Now, one of the most important questions that we raised is right here in the second paragraph on your page, Chovat Yochid or Chovat Tzibur. What is the nature of this obligation to read the Torah on Shabbos, on Yontif, on Mondays, on Thursdays? Is it an obligation that's incumbent upon the community as a community? Or rather, it is an obligation that's incumbent upon the individual? It's a personal Chovas Yochid.
Why does it have to be read from like the Torah itself? Why not like from a Chumash or from...
Right, because there's a special mitzvah of Kriya from a Sefer Torah. And the reason for that is the Sefer Torah, if it's complete and if it's perfect, without any chaseros and so forth, has a special Kedusha, a sanctity. And the reading from a sanctified Sefer Torah is the nature of this kiyum, which the Gemara embellishes at the end of Bava Kamma. Now the Ramban, in his famous work called Melchamas Hashem, on Masechta Megillah, says that the mitzvah of reading the Torah publicly is an obligation that's incumbent on the community, on the tzibur. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik used to quote his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, who disagreed, and he was of the opinion that the obligation to hear the Torah read publicly is incumbent upon the yachid, on the individual. Just the kiyum, the implementation of that obligation, depends upon the tzibur. I'll give you an example where I'm obligated, but I can only fulfill it if I gather together another 9 people. Let's say Birchas HaGomel, for example. Arba Tzrichim Lahodos. That bracha of HaGomel has to be recited B'tzibur, but it's my personal obligation. If I experienced a Hatzolah, you know, God saved me from a precarious situation, then it's my personal obligation to express that gratitude and thanksgiving by reciting the Bracha of Hagomel. I have to do so in front of a tzibur. So too, I have an obligation to study Torah, which is being read, as you say, from a Sefer Torah publicly, but I need the tzibur. Without the tzibur, I cannot fulfill my personal obligation. So Rav Soloveitchik told us that Rav Chaim, his grandfather, when he was on a trip by train, even if he had to get off the train in the middle of his trip, in other words, before he reached his destination, but that was the only way he could guarantee that he could hear Kriyas HaTorah, he would do so. Why not just say, well, wait till I get to my destination, if there's no tzibur, if there's no minyan, so I'm not obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. That's the communal obligation to Chovas Tzibur. And that indeed would be the Ramban's understanding of the nature of the Takana of Chovas Kriyas HaTorah. But Reb Chaim had raias, he had proofs that it's not like that. That Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur takes the personal obligation that's incumbent upon every Yachid to study Torah and adds another prerequisite to it. It's got to be in front of a tzibur, it's got to be mitocha sefer, it's got to be on Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos at certain specific times and Yom Tovim. That's the way the Chachamim embellished the personal individual obligation of Talmud Torah. And we find very often that the Rabbanon will institute takanos to take an obligation that the Torah recognizes and give it a certain structure, a certain detail, a framework. And that's what they did according to Reb Chaim. And you'll see here that the Birkas Shmuel quotes Reb Chaim, that's in the next to the last paragraph on your page 1. And his name was Reb Baruch Ber Leibovitz. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Slobodka and also in Baranovitz, in Kamenetz, excuse me. And he says in the name of Reb Chaim that the Chiyuv is on the Yachid, but the Yachid needs the Tzibur in order to fulfill that obligation. Just Derech Agav, I want to mention to you another case in point where you have a personal obligation, but you can only fulfill it in a Tzibur. And that is when a person gets married, he, the chassan, is obligated, probably the kala too, in Birchas Sheva Brachas. But you can only fulfill that obligation in the presence of a tzibur. We have many, many examples of individual obligations that are incumbent on the yachid, but can only be fulfilled in the presence of a tzibur. We have other categories where you could fulfill that obligation without a tzibur, but if you do so in the presence of a tzibur, it enhances your there are two kiyum. There's a kiyum yachid and a kiyum tzibur. For example, tefillah, prayer. Prayer I can fulfill as a personal obligation, even be a chidus without a tzibur. If I fulfill my obligation in a tzibur, and I daven together with another 9 men, that enhances my kiyum and jacks it up to a higher level because I obtain an additional kiyum of the tzibur. Or for example, Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. So every individual has to hear the Megillah, that's how we paskin. There is one day in the Gemara that the Chiyuv Megillah is incumbent on the Tzibur, and if you don't have a Tzibur, there is no obligation, but we paskin that the Yochid is obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah. But if he hears the Megillah in a public reading, he obtains another additional Kiyum of Tzibur. So if you take a look at the last paragraph on your page 1, if the obligation applies not to the individual, but to the tzibur, to the congregation, then I don't have to get out of, you know, get off my train, you know, alight from my train in order to find a minyan that's reading the Torah. Because if there's no tzibur, then the very takana of Chovas Kriyas HaTorah tzibur doesn't apply and the obligation doesn't get off the ground. If, on the other hand, we say that it's an obligation that applies and is incumbent upon each individual, then if there's no minyan, then I have to guarantee that I get a minyan. And by analogy, if a chassan lives in a city where he doesn't have 10 men, you know, he's out there in the boondocks, as we say, and he wants to fulfill his obligation of reciting the 7 brachos, he's got to up and find another community where he can find a minyan. Now, Rav Baruch Be'er says,
Are there examples of the opposite of cases where it's really only a chovat zibur and not a chovat yechid?
Yeah, many cases. I'll give you an example. The classical case of a chovat zibur would be the mitzvah of hakel, which is also a mitzvah of reading the Torah, but that obligation, which applies once in 7 years, and it would apply at the end of this year, actually, before going into Sukkot of the eighth year of the Shemitah cycle, that mitzvah is incumbent on the tzibur. I don't have to run around, you know, making sure and guaranteeing that I'll be able to be part of Hakel. Obviously, the melech will call me and summon me as part of the congregation, but that's a chovas tzibur. I'll give you another example of a chovas tzibur. Let's say the karbonos that are brought on a daily basis, you remember those two karbonos, what are they called? Anybody remember?
Tamid.
Correct. There's Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. That's a Chovas Tzibur. And in fact, the entire second half of Masechta Tainis, which is called the Sugya of Ma'amados, have to do with setting up a representation of the tzibur in the heichal, in the migdash, when they brought these karbanos. Because when the karban is being brought on behalf of the tzibur, we need some sort of representation of the tzibur. But the chiyuv of bringing the karban is not incumbent upon me as an individual. That's why, for example, you know, on Rosh Chodesh, you know, and on Yontif, and Shabbos, we have an extra tefillah. And that's called a tefillas musaf. You should be very careful, whenever possible, to recite that tefillah in a tzibur. Obviously, every tefillah should be in a tzibur if you can. But particularly a karban musaf, because the tefillas musaf replaces the karban, which is a chovas tzibur, it's not a chovas yachid. So the tefillah is sort of restricted by the same regulations that apply to the karban itself, because the tefillah replaces the karban, and therefore guarantee yourself a minyan for tefillas musaf. That's just the ora agavit, as we say.
The minyan is not ma'akev in the Koran Musa.
Well, you don't need a minyan. I don't know if the maimon is ma'akev or not ma'akev, but the carbon is being brought by the tzibur. If, let's say, chas v'shalom, there would be a situation where on Mars, you know, well, anyway, there couldn't be a base on Migdash on Mars, but if there were no tzibur, then there would be no carbon. In fact, the carbon tamid was purchased from monies that were put in what's called the Trumas HaLishka. The Trumas HaLishka was money that was owned by the tzibur. No individual owned that money. The entire tzibur owned the money. My Rebbe used to say that Eretz Yisrael is not the ownership of any individual, nor the amalgamation of all the people living in the land at one particular moment in time. Eretz Yisrael is owned by the tzibur, and that's a special concept. And we find over and over again in Halacha that there are certain obligations that are incumbent upon the tzibur as a community. And the question is, where to put this takana of Moshe, as embellished by Ezra, of reading the Torah publicly? And before we turn to the second page, I wanted to point out that the Birka Shmuel says that you don't need a minyan of people, all of whom have not heard the Torah read, and all of whom are anticipating and have not yet fulfilled their obligation vis-a-vis Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur. If you have six, and you add another four people, meaning six out of the four, the majority, have not yet heard the Torah read, if you have an additional four who've already heard the Torah reading, they are integrated into the other six to form a minyan. My Rebbe said that Reb Chaim went very, very far. Reb Chaim was of the opinion that since it's a Chovas Yachid, even if one person has not yet heard Kriyas HaTorah, he can gather together another nine people, all of whom have heard Kriyas HaTorah, and can be Yotzei the Mitzvah, because his chiyuv is a personal obligation. He needs, in order to implement that chiyuv and achieve the goal of the mitzvah, that it be read, the Torah be read in front, in the presence of a minyan. That minyan can be made up by any other 10 people, even if they've already fulfilled their mitzvah of hearing the Torah read. And you should know that my Rebbe held that that was halacha l'maisa. It wasn't just lumdus, it wasn't just theoretical or conceptual. When Rav Soloveitchik would come back from Boston, and sometimes his plane would land a little bit too late to get the last minute in yeshiva, he would gather together nine students and have the Torah read publicly, even though he was the only one who hadn't heard the Torah read. Okay, let's go on to page 2. On page 2, he quotes the Ramban that I mentioned to you earlier in the Melchamas Hashem and Megillah. Amar HaKosev. That's a way in which an author speaks in third person. The Ramban is referring to himself. Hashnuya b'mishnasenu kulam chovas hatzibur hein. V'einam ela b'mechuyavim b'dof. There's a long list of mitzvos in Megillah Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Bet, in that Mishnah, mitzvos that are incumbent upon the tzibur. One of which, most of them have to do with kodshim, which with the, you know, with the karbonos that were brought in the mizbeach, or the omer that was brought on the 16th of Nisan. But amongst that list is the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah b'tzibur. And the Ramban says the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi listed kriyas haTorah in that list is to teach us that, like the others in that list, there's no obligation on the individual, but rather the obligation is on the tzibur. And in that sense, Kriyas HaTorah is different than Kriyas HaMegillah, because as we said earlier, my obligation to hear the Megillah, to read the Megillah, is personal. And once I read the Megillah, that's considered Pirsa Vanes, even if no one else is around. But in contrast, and Megillah is not listed in that Mishnah in Megillah, in contrast, Kriyas HaTorah is a chiyuv incumbent upon the tzibur. Okay. Now, what I'd like you to do for a moment is to fast forward to the second half of page 3, the second side of page 3. Do you have that?
Page 3 or page 4?
Oh, I'm saying page 4. You're right. My mistake. That was a silly mistake. It actually starts, if I can excuse myself, on the bottom of page 3 and goes on to page 4. This is a presentation of Rav Soloveitchik's insights on Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, was of the opinion, based on Yerushalmi in the third parak of Brachos, that the halach of Shomer Ka'one, that I can listen to your recitation and fulfill my chiyuv without actually reciting it, like if I can use the word vicariously, applies to every mitzvah with the exception of two. Kriyat Shema, I can't be Yotzi by listening to your Kriyat Shema, and Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah requires that I personally read the Torah. And the Yerushalmi seems to insist, therefore, that even with regard to Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, every individual has to read the Torah personally. But if that's the nature of the mitzvah Talmud Torah, I have a kasha to ask you. What about the public reading of the Torah on Shabbos, Monday, and Thursday? Does every individual read the Torah? Is one person reading the Torah? The other people are simply
people.
Listening.
Try to divide that people.
Divide what up, even?
The Aliyahs.
The Aliyahs. But if, let's say, you can't tell me that every person who gets an Aliyah is reading the entire parasha, right? The chiyuv is to read 10 psukim, he may be reading 3 psukim. And what about the rest of the people? They're not even reading one single pasuk. So even if you give them an aliyah, but they'll read 3 psukim, they're not going to read the rest of the parasha. So obviously, everyone in the community is hearing the kore and is being yotze through Shomea Ka'ona. How do we square that with the fact that the Rav understood the Yerushalmi is saying that when it comes to Torah, there's no such thing as Shomea Kona. Every person has to read for himself. So if you take a look at this presentation, he says the following: V'hod b'kriyas haTorah b'tzibur echad korei v'ashar yotzim b'shmir. How is it possible that everybody listens and only one person is reading? And that would seem to prove, ostensibly, that the law, the regulation of Shomea Kona, applies to Talmud Torah. Says the Rav Nira. When I listen to the Torah, I'm not Yotze, I don't fulfill my obligation through the principle and mechanics of Shomea Ka'ona, because Shomea Ka'ona can't apply to Talmud Torah. Ela Yisod Chiyuvo Hu Mishum Shetehei HaTorah Nikreis B'tzibur. The tzibur reads the Torah. My obligation is to link up to the tzibur. How do I fulfill my obligation to link up to the tzibur and participate in the public reading of the Torah? Through shmia. My shmia, my listening to the Kriyas HaTorah, links me up to the tzibur. V'nimtza, therefore, b'yisod, chovas Kriyas HaTorah lo nemar bozeh, chovas kriya al kol echad yachad. Every individual is indeed obligated in this mitzvah, but not as an obligation of kriya, but rather as an obligation to connect into the tzibur. How do you connect into the tzibur? You remember the old days? The operators, you know, have you ever seen in the old movies that the operators, you know, when you made a call and they wanted to link you up with the number that you're calling, they would take that, what is it called, that
plug board.
The plug, yeah, they would plug you in, right? So how do I plug into the tzibur? My obligation in Kriyas HaTorah is to plug into the tzibur. What is the mechanics? What is the agent that plugs me into the tzibur? The answer is shmia, to listen to the Sefer Torah. Now you should turn to page... four.
So if most of the tzibur is spacing out, then the tzibur isn't really a tzibur because it's just one person reading.
Are they sleeping or what? What are they? When you say spacing out,
they're not listening.
See, that's complicated because Aaron, I would say the following: even if you're spacing out, you're still listening. When do you cross the red line and your shmia is completely meaningless? That's when you fall asleep. Mm-hmm. And even here, with regard to falling asleep, Chazal, the halach is very. Very meticulous. There are different, you know, the threads of differences. There's something called misnamnim, which is called in the language of the Aramaic of the Gemara, nim velo nim tir velo tir, meaning that if I just whisper, you would already shake up out of it. And then there's something called shenas keva, where you're really geschlafen, you know, you're really asleep. And then you're actually completely mufka from shmir. And the same halach is, by the way, applied to tefillin. When a person is wearing tefillin, there's an iser hesech hadas. You have to be constantly aware of the tefillin. You should always be mamashmei. You should make sure the tefillin are sitting right. And what happens if you fall asleep? So the Gemara in Masechta Menachos makes a distinction. The Gemara in Brachos in Masechta Menachos and other places makes a distinction between misnamnim. It's unbelievable. Even though you're dozing off, you're still considered listening. In Kriyas HaTorah, and the basis for that is even though you're dozing off with tefillin on your head, you're still considered linked up to the tefillin. But if you fall asleep, what's called a shenas keva, that's considered a hesech hadas.
So, but if someone falls asleep with tefillin, you need to take off the tefillin and say the brachas again, or what is it?
I don't know exactly halacha l'maisa, but yeah, that's probably true. But again, what constitutes a shenas keva? You know, how long you fell asleep for? I don't know. If you went to the bathroom, for example, that's called a hesech hadas. You have to take off your tefillin, and when you put them on again, you should be making a bracha. Question is in talis why it's a little bit different, but that's a definition. So he says the following: v'chov hashmi on the top of page 4. If you want to underline this, ein enemy din shomea ke'oneh. The obligation is simply to listen to the Torah being read, because by listening to the tzibur, you link up to the entity called Kriyas HaTzibur, and you're Yotze the mitzvah. He says, on the other hand, when it comes to Kriyat Shema, my mitzvah is not to listen, but rather to recite Kriyat Shema. That requires Kriya B'peh. And there's no din of Shomei Kohen, so you cannot recite Kriyat Shema on my behalf, even though I listen to every single word and I hang on to every word. That's not enough. The chov of the obligation is a chiyuv kriya, and there's no din of Shomei Kohen with regard to Kriyat Shema. Let me just ask you a question. What would be your knee-jerk response if I asked you, why do you think there's no din of Shomei Kohen with regard to Kriyat Shema?
Because Kabbalah
Shema Shemaya could
be a
gufo. Correct. The Kriya is only a conduit, it's a means to an end. The real essence, the gufa mitzvah, the kima mitzvah, is Kabbalah Shema Shemaya. That's something that I can't viotze with your Kriya. There's no proxy for that. I have to personally evolve. In Talmud Torah, that's what the Rav insists, the same logic applies. That Talmud Torah requires my mental involvement in understanding the Torah. And the fact that you recite the Torah doesn't do anything for me, and therefore there's no Shomei Kohen. But when it's a public reading of the Torah, as per this chiyuv that was established by Moshe Rabbeinu and embellished by Ezra, there the mitzvah is to hear the Torah being read publicly. There's a new entity called the reading, the public reading of the Torah. And how do I fulfill my obligation vis-a-vis this entity of the public reading of the Torah? I connect, I plug into the tzibur, that's a good word, I plug into the tzibur by listening to Kriya Sator. Now, in the next paragraph, which we don't have time for now, if you have a chance, I want you to take this home, there's a Gemara in Sota about a blind person. And the Gemara seems to assume that this blind person is exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Sator B'tzibur. And that's the way Tosus understood the Gemara. That seems to undermine everything we've been saying about Kriya Sator, because if the Kriya Sator means I have a chi of Shmiya, there's no reason why a blind person should be excluded from the mitzvah of hearing the Torah. If there's a mitzvah of Kriya, then you could say that since he's blind and he's not capable of Kriya, he doesn't have that obligation.
Maybe he's automatically excluded from the tzibur always.
I don't know that there is such a thing. Be careful what you say, because that's, you know, you're really putting, you're stretching yourself out on a limb. A suma is exempt from certain mitzvahs, but again, I don't want to get into the issue whether d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, but he, at the bottom, at the end of the day, he's chayav in all mitzvahs. He's part of the tzibur. You can count him for a minyan. In fact, I remember my brother, I used to spend Shabbos at my brother's house back in the day when he lived in San Simon, if you know what that is. And in San Simon, one of the main people in the tzibur was blind. He would follow the entire recitation of tefillos with braille. And he was considered very much a part of the minyan. Very often they needed him as part of the minyan. So a suma's not excluded from tzibur. He's excluded or alleviated from those mitzvahs that require kriya, require re'ia. He doesn't have re'ia, but not from Shmiya. So if the Rav is right, and that's what he himself is going to ask, that the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah, as far as the Yochid is concerned, is an obligation to hear the Torah, why should the Suma be excluded? And that's going to be the next piece.
Isn't this all against Reb Chaim?
Why? He's defending Reb Chaim. He's saying that Reb Chaim is right, that I have to hear the Torah, and I have to get off the train to fulfill my personal chovas yachid of kriya sator b'tzibur, but my chiv is not kriya. My chiv is only shmiya. Why? Because through the shmiya, I link up to the kriya of the tzibur.
I thought he's saying that really all the reason is a chovas tzibur. It's just that the tzibur needs to have yachidim listening.
That's the sheet of the Ramban. But the Rav is not trying to undermine the sheet of Reb Chaim, that it's my personal chiyuv, which I can only fulfill in the presence of a tzibur. He's just saying that shift your emphasis in this mitzvah from the kriya to the shmiya. So whenever the mitzvah is kriya, then if I can be yotzi through your kriya, it must be shomei kohen.
Yeah.
But if the mitzvah is shmiya, and that shmiya is just a conduit that allows me to link up to the kriya of the tzibur, then in that sense, it's not shomei kohen at all. And the Rav used to say that one time that in Chaslavich, that's where he spent his youth, the Baal Kore said to everyone in the Tzibur after he read it, that nobody was Yotze the Mitzvah, because I had in mind not to be Yotze anyone. And another version was that he said about Ploni Almoni, he's my enemy, I have in mind that he shouldn't be Yotze with my Kriya. And they came in front of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, Rav Chaim's son, and they asked him about it, and he said, it's irrelevant. He doesn't have to have in mind to be Motziyu. It's not that he's reading and his reading is linked to you through Shomea Ka'ona, and therefore in Shomea Ka'ona you always require that the Kore has to have in mind that the Shomea should be Yotze. No, that's not it. He's creating a Kriya of the Tzibur. Anyone who links up to the Tzibur, creates that Tzibur, is Yotze because he hears the Kriya of the Tzibur. It's not a personal obligation in the sense of Shomea Ka'ona, meaning as far as the Maisa Kriya is concerned, the personal obligation is the Shmiya. And that Shmiya is a reality. Whether he had in mind to be Motzi with that Shmiya or not is irrelevant. Okay, I'm wondering. Now, on your page 2, you'll see that the Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha Kuf Mem Gimel quotes the opinion of the Ran. And the Ran says that if you have a rove who have not heard the Torah, it means 6 out of 10 then we follow the rov. And that somehow is enough to create a chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. Now, if Kriyas HaTorah evolves on the tzibur, it's funny, you have a tzibur of six. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that the Chayei Adam had a question, Shema Muta Likros B'Torah Shenis. Can you read from the Torah a second time around? L'tovas chelik mitoch hakol, part of the kol, shelo shama kriyas haTorah. And the Mishnah Berurah paskins that you can rely on the Ran if you have a majority. So if six people have not been yotze from the tzibur, you can read the Torah. As I said before, there is another extreme opinion that says that it's such a chovas yachid that each individual could set up a tzibur. So you have one person who hasn't been yotze and nine who have, and you can read the Torah. And Rav Moshe Feinstein in Orach Chaim Chelik Aleph in Simon Chav Ches has a chakira. He raises the question as to whether Shema Nochus Rov Shal Shisha Mitoch Asor Yotzeres Chova Shal Kri. He wants to know if 6 out of 10 have not heard the reading of the Torah, which according to the Ran they read the Torah, is that a chova, is that an obligation, or maybe it's a heter to read the Torah. And he comes to the conclusion that if you have a tzibur that has more than 11 people in it, then if you have a presence of 6 out of the 11 who haven't heard Kriyas HaTorah, they cannot impose their obligation upon the remaining members of the community, but rather they should separate from the community arba mitocham kidei lahashim saminyan avur elu shelo karu. So it's not like the 11th person is part and parcel of the tzibur, and now through the 6, we have a chiyuv on the tzibur, but rather the 6 cannot impose an obligation upon the tzibur, they cannot generate a chovas tzibur, but they can ask the other 4 people to join them, the 11th guy is free to go. Now, what happens if a person... if the entire tzibur missed reading the Sefer Torah? That's the next session you'll see in the middle of your page 2. Let's say, for example, a tzibur did not have a Sefer Torah kosher. Rov akilu lo shomus kriyas haTorah makom acher. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins that kihila, that community has chayeves likros b'Torah lahashlim as hakriya. They have to find a Sefer Torah that's kosher. So far as chovas Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas HaTzibur is concerned, the Tzibur is obligated now to make sure, guarantee that it has a Sefer Torah in order to read the Torah. But now the question arises in the case of an individual who missed reading the Torah. So is he chayev to guarantee that he hears the Kriyas HaTorah, as we asked before? So Rav Moshe Feinstein or Chaim Paskins that every single individual member of the Kila has to hear the Sefer Torah. He has to hear all the words of the Kriya. And he adds, let's read his language. He says that Kama Psukim Chayv Kol Adam Lishmoa, what's the minimum amount of Psukim that each individual has to hear to be Yotze his personal Chiyuv? And he says that with regard to Sheni V'Chamishi on Mondays and Thursdays, he has to hear at least 3 Psukim from each of 3 aliyos. On Shabbos, he has to hear every word of the Kriyas HaTorah so that he can be mashed in the Kriya of the Torah throughout the year. Now there's a sefer called Halichos HaGrach, and the Grach got off a train in the middle of his trip before he got to his destination in order to guarantee that he would hear Kriyas HaTorah, and he did it even in the afternoon. That's what I told you before in the name of the Rav, that he would gather together another 9 people if he couldn't daven mitzibur. It's almost as if there's more of a kpeda here on Kriyas HaTorah than it is on Tefillah B'Tzibur. Tefillah B'Tzibur is a Chovas Tzibur, but Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas Yochid. And that's Reb Chaim Shita. Now, in the next section that you have on the bottom of page 2, going on to the top of page 3, the question is how to become part of a tzibur. It's possible that even though there's a chiyuv on the tzibur, the chiyuv still somehow expands to each yachid, which means that everyone in the room is obligated to make sure, to guarantee that the Kriyas HaTorah will be achieved, will be implemented. That's not the way we presented it according to the Rav, where the Chiyuv is a Chiyuv Shmiah. Now what we're saying is that every individual has a Chiyuv to make sure that the Tzibur will fulfill its obligation. So the basic obligation is incumbent upon the Tzibur as a Tzibur, not on each Yachid. But yet, each Yachid has a responsibility to make sure that the Tzibur is able to implement and achieve its chiyuv. And that's the language of the Emek Bracha in Kriyas HaTorah number Gimel, Mitzad Echad Osu Liyodim Lotzeis Beis HaKnesses V'meshach Kriyas HaTorah. So during Kriyas HaTorah you're not allowed to leave because you have to guarantee that the Tzibur will fulfill its chiyuv. And the Emek Bracha assumes that if anyone leaves the shul and now the Tzibur cannot fulfill its chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibur, he has undermined his obligation. But yet, the Emek Bracha says, Mishein Shomea Chelek Mitoch HaMilos Shal Kriyas HaTorah, if let's say he doesn't hear every single word of the Kriya, he's not chayev to be mashlin the Kriya. And the reason for this is because he writes, and this is on the top of page 3, HaChovi Bikarna L'Tzivro LeYochid. So let's just summarize the Emek Bracha. He's a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. He's saying the following: that the basic chiyuv is on the tzibur. Each individual has a chiyuv to stay in the shul during the Kriyas HaTorah to guarantee that the tzibur will be able to fulfill its obligation. If someone leaves, he is mafkia his chiyuv. He's not fulfilling his chiyuv. But at the same time, somebody who misses some words of the Kriyas HaTorah, he's not obligated to again hear another Kriya, because again, the obligation is incumbent upon the Tzibur, not on the Yochid. So if he's part of the Tzibur, he has to guarantee that the Tzibur fulfills its Chiyuv, and he's not allowed to leave. But if on the other hand, in terms of his own personal situation, he didn't hear all the words of the Sefer Torah of the Kriya, he doesn't have to hear another Kriya to replace that Kriya. But again, according to Reb Chaim, who says that the Chovas Kriyas HaTorah is on the Yachid, that doesn't apply. So as Reb Chaim would be of the opinion that a person didn't daven b'tzibur, let's say he was ill or he came late, he was on a train, he was going to a conference, he still has an obligation, a personal obligation to hear the Kriyas HaTorah, the Emek Bracha's presentation says that as an individual, he's not chayev in Kriyas HaTorah. If he was late or he was ill, he's not chayev to look for a tzibur to hear Kriyas HaTorah. If he's part of a tzibur, he has to participate in the Kriya of the tzibur and guarantee that the tzibur yotze yidei chovasa. The Emek Bracha at the end of this presentation says that according to most poskim, and we saw this already in Rav Moshe Feinstein, the chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah is incumbent on the individual. So that although that's not the opinion of the Emek Bracha himself, but nevertheless he says that is the opinion of most poskim. And here we move to the next section, which is called Lahafsid Kriyas HaTorah. Because according to everything that we've said until now, a person has an obligation to participate in Kriyas HaTorah, at least, and we go here with the Emek Bracha, as part of the community. So is one permitted to, let's say, go on a trip for Parnasa, knowing full well that he'll miss the reading of the Torah? And again, this would seem to be contingent upon our chakira, meaning the machlokas between the Ramban on the one hand, Reb Chaim as the extreme on the other hand. Meaning, according to them, in Bracha, if basically the Chiyuv is on the Tzibur, just that you as an individual have to be part of the Kriya because you're in the Tzibur and you're part of the makeup of that Tzibur. But if I'm on a business trip, then I'm not Chayev to hear Kriya Satorah. But most poskim say it's a Chiyuv on the Yachid. The Mishnah Berurah writes, and that you'll see here quoted in the third paragraph, that's Mishnah Berurah Sadi. He says, "Imu ones b'mamon shemachmas ishtadlusus palim atzibur yovli they hefseid." If he's going to lose a business deal because of his linking up to the tzibur, yachol is palim bebeis of the yachol beis akneses below tzibur. Al mishum benias revach lo yol yimna vilas palim atzibur the chiluk yesh be benias revach lo bein hefseid mikiso. So again, if he's going to take a loss as a result of davening mitzibur, then he doesn't have to daven mitzibur. If, on the other hand, he's going to lose out on a possible gain, then in that situation, minyas revach, the Mishnah Berurah requires that he forego the minyas revach for the sake of davening mitzibur. And at the end of this paragraph, he quotes the Halicha Shlomo of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who writes, "Mutal yodim linsol amokum she'ein bo minyan im medubar litzorach shal parnasa or bitzorach brius o tzorach shal kiyum mitzvahs." So on the three cases, three categories, Rav Shlomo Zalman allows you to go on a trip knowing full well that you'll miss tefillah b'tzibur. Number one, for parnasa. Number two, for briyut. And again, that has to be defined. What does it mean for health purposes? And number three, for a kiyum ha-mitzvah. So although, keep in mind that this paragraph in the Halicha Shlomo is not related specifically to Kriyas HaTorah, he's talking about tefillah b'tzibur. But the assumption, the premise we're working with is that if he's not going to be davening Mitzibur for one of those three reasons, which is okay, then he's going to forego Kriya Satorah. But if a person is going to a place for Lihina Feish, you know, just for purpose of vacation, he should guarantee him that he will have a minyan. Again, there may be extreme cases and you have to ask your local poseg, but as a general rule, we should avoid going on vacations to places where we will not have a minyan. Now the last piece that we want to study, which is here at the bottom of page 3, Nashim B'Kriyas HaTorah, the Magen Avraham has a radical chiddush in Simon Reish Pei Beis Sifkat Vav, that as far as a woman is concerned, Chayevas Lishma Kriyas HaTorah. In other words, even though the takana of Kriyas HaTorah is a subcategory of Talmud Torah, and women are exempt from the mitzvah Talmud Torah, v'shinantol v'nechav lov l'nosech, nevertheless, she has a mitzvah to listen to Kriyas HaTorah. And her mitzvah in Kriyas HaTorah b'tzibur is parallel, says the Magen Avraham, to the mitzvah of Hakel, where the Torah says women have to participate in the mitzvah of Hakel. And basically, this is a reflection of what it says in the Brisa of Masechta Sofrim, Noshim Chayovas Lishmo Kriya Sefer Ke'an Noshim U'mitzvah L'targim Lohem She'avinu. And in the language of the Masechta Sofrim, women are equated to men for the purposes of communal Torah reading. The passages should be translated for the women after the main service. And the Magen Avraham writes, yet, apparently, the minig, even in the time of the Magen Avraham, was that women generally left the shul. They did not participate in the reading of the Torah. And this is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, as we saw early in Siman Tzadi. And it would seem that this minig, for women to go out, is just a reflection of what happened in those days. They didn't understand the Sefer Torah. There was nobody translating it for them. So they decided, might as well go out instead of schmoozing during the Kriyas HaTorah. But today I think that women understand Lashon Kodesh. They should stay, remain, and hear the Kriyas HaTorah. That's for sure on Shabbos. The question is, what do we do on Mondays and Thursdays? Should we encourage the women to come and hear the public reading of the Torah? If women have some sort of pressing need to leave, they can leave in the middle of the reading of the Torah. Normally, you know, to turn your back around a public reading of the Torah is is bizui dvar Hashem. But in this case of women, where their obligation is not 100% solid, because as a subcategory of Talmud Torah, women are not included in this mitzvah, so we can allow them to leave in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah if need be. And let's conclude our discussion with the Aruch HaShulchan in Reish Pei Beis Yud Aleph. He says, that which it says in Masech the Sof from the Noshim Chayovas Lishma Kriya, he says, Lav Chiv Gomer Kamer, El Adumya De Tinokos, Shari Ptur Mi Talmud Torah. It cannot be that the Masech the Sof from that Bryce is referring to an absolute Chiyuv, because how could a woman be Chayevas in Kriya Satorah when she's exempt from Torah study? The Ode, the Ein Lecha Zman Groma Yosef, he says, obviously this is a mitzvah that's time bound, the women are exempt. And what the din of targum is, according to the Maseches Sofrim, again the language is mitzvah letargim lehem, the kriya. He's saying that's only derech musar. That's roy. Ela Masech the Sofrim Omer al derech musar bizman shayu metargimin shenochel letargim lifneim v'lifnei atinokos lahashish believe on yiras Hashem v'avoso yisparach. Back in the day when the minhag was to be metargim, they translated the Torah into the vernacular. He's saying, the Masech Tosafot, from the way the Aruch HaShulchan understands it, that it is really praiseworthy, and it should be emphasized that the Torah reading should be translated for the women and children, and for that matter, even for the men if they don't understand the Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, we'll stop here.